And so, did you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good? I don't know.
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, welcome to Dispatchers from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We are coming at you from the underground right here in New York City. That's where we are. This is what we do, and I'm glad you could join us down here. I am in a fucking fantastic mood for like one of three times a year that I'm in a good mood. And today it's because the Halloween season is upon us. It is fall here in New York City and everybody is, well, who cares about everybody else? I'm in a good mood because I fucking love this shit, man. Free candy everywhere. People are fucking pretending to be something they're not, but they intentionally mean to do it as opposed to the rest of the year when they're doing it by accident and don't really know it. I fucking love it. Everyone's talking about horror movies and gore and blood and scaring the shit out of everybody else. Again, intentionally as opposed to unintentionally, as you know, like the rest of the year that they scare the shit out of everybody else with their really terrifying shit. But yeah, it's like fucking, it is just a moment for us to get in touch with our inner evil that we deny or that most people deny all the time. And I fucking just, I don't think evil's the word for it. Our inner, like, dark side. I think that's a good way to put it. Because evil's got, like, the connotations of, like, evil or whatever. But it's a moment for us to get in touch with our darker side of ourselves that so many people, like, deny and reject. And despite the fact that there are way too many, like, sexy outfit uniform things, which I think has just fucking ruined Halloween, this is a fantastic, fantastic season. And it's great to be alive! Or whatever. It's like fine to be alive. It's fine. Who cares? We have a very special guest on the episode for the first time. Jane from the band Trashy is going to be joining us today. We're going to be talking about what she's doing with Trashy, what's going on with this incredible band that's at the center of a wonderful scene here in New York City. Trashy is a Brooklyn transcore band, and they're all trans musicians, and they're going to talk to us not only about their wonderful music and the amazing lyrics that they have and the wonderful punk tunes that they make up, but also their community and what they represent, which is something special and wonderful, and I'm super happy to not only know them, but to get to see them play all the time. They're an amazing band. So we've had Al from Trashy on in the past, and I'm in another band with Al called Cop Out, and Al also is the head organizer for a wonderful festival we do here in New York City, Punk Island. But now we're having Al's bandmate in Trashy, Jane, who's going to come on, and she's going to talk a little bit about the band. We're still going to start out talking a little bit about the band, but I want to get to Halloween because that's what I'm fucking excited about, and you may or may not be excited about it, but we're going to try to get you excited about it because every year there's a phenomenon that happens. I don't know if this happens all over the country or if this is just a New York thing or a New York LA thing, because I know some bands in LA that definitely do this, but we in bands get bored playing our shit and we decide we're gonna play as a cover band for a night or for a couple of nights. So a lot of bands will for Halloween do cover sets. And Trash is gonna talk to us about their history of cover sets. And I'm gonna talk to you a little bit about a cover band that I'm doing with Al. And then we're gonna talk a little bit about Halloween. Maybe I can get Jane to tell us what she's gonna be for Halloween this year. We'll see if I can get to that point. I don't know. Jane's not sure really. Jane really likes me sometimes, but we'll see how that goes. If she's willing to let the cat out of the bag, so to speak. I'm not going to tell you what I'm dressing up as. Maybe I'll tell you what I always dress up as, but I think actually I don't even know what I'm dressing up as. My wonderful, wonderful, wonderful wife, Christine, has some sort of couples outfit planned. I'm not excited about the prospect of it, but we're going to see what that's going to happen, what's going to happen there. But either way, no matter what I'm forced to be dressed up as, I'm excited it's Halloween, and I hope you are too. So that's what we're going to talk about in the first part of the episode. Hopefully we'll get some perspective on the best part of this podcast, which is the fucking wonderful things going on in the underground. And honestly, I can't think of anyone better than Jane to come on and talk to us about the wonderful music they're making in Trashy. Love that band so much. So that's the first part. On the second part, we're going to get into the dark side of things, but it's not going to be the fun-loving dark side of things. We're going to talk about guns. Obviously, very recently here in the United States, we had this horrible tragedy in Las Vegas. I don't really know if I should call it a tragedy because it was like perpetuated by someone. I don't really know what a tragedy is other than an amazing band. But yeah, I guess it was an atrocity. Atrocity seems like a better word for it. I'll call it an atrocity. I'll edit all that other stuff out and be like, recently here in New York and in the United States, we had this horrible atrocity happen where some whack job fucking got up in a casino. Surprising that casinos let whack jobs in there. But we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the fact that whack job was able to get a myriad of machine guns and open fired on a music festival. And so we're going to talk about gun control. I know everyone's talking about gun control, but here's the thing. Everybody is not Jane and Joey. And I feel like we're going to come at this issue with a perspective that you probably have not heard before. And I think we're going to solve this problem. Jane is super level-headed and a very good person, and I'm super irrational and insane and a very terrible person. And I think between the two of us, we're going to come up with some really creative new solutions. So that's what we're going to talk about in the second half of the episode. We're going to talk about gun control. We're going to try to get some perspective on the issue and ways that you are not getting from any other news source or from any other talking heads, that which we are today on this show. And I promise you, you're going to come out of this episode with a smile on your face or with more perspective, or you're going to be really angry. But either way, you probably have some new ideas for Halloween costumes. And that, frankly, probably the most important thing next to having a better perspective. I don't know anymore. I will say that before we start this episode, I am hoping that everyone can sort of agree on the same Halloween costume this year. I'm hoping that all of these insane Trump pieces of shit and right-wing fuckheads and alt-right idiots, and I'm hoping that just for a day, they're going to dress up and like a sane, rational citizen of the world. Just for a day. You know, they'll think it's a joke, but I think for a day, it would be refreshing for them to like get in touch with and try to understand this side of things. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they'll just do it as a joke and they'll think that we're silly still. But, you know, let's see if it happens. I'm sure we are the scariest thing to them. So see if that's what they're into. So we'll see. If you get any pictures of that, you can send it over to me at dispatchfromtheunderground.com. We have all of our information up there. You can holler at us there. There's a subscription button, as always. There's merch for you to buy. And the show is always free, but there is a donation section if you are so inclined. We could really use the money. But if you're not in that position, I get it. You are getting free fucking candy from everybody all over the place this month. But you're hit up on cash. I get it. That's fine. But there's tons of ways for you to get in touch. There's a lot of old episodes on our archive section that is up on our website. Thank you very much to GFresh for helping me maintain that archive section. Really appreciate it. But yeah, go over there, get some free shit, and send us some candy or something like that. I actually also enjoy candy corn. I know everybody hates it, but I enjoy it. So you can send me your candy corn if you don't like that shit. I like the pumpkin ones especially, so send me those. Or weird ones, the creepy-shaped ones. I like those too. That would be great. I would love some creepy ones. I would like I know candy corn already look like teeth, but I would like actual tooth-looking candy corn so that I'm rotting my teeth with teeth. I think that would be really fucking cool. But, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about. Before we get any further in the episode, I want to say a few thank yous. I want to thank, first and foremost, Jane from Trashy for coming out from very far away to be on the episode with me today. I really appreciate her doing that. She does not live in the city anymore, so it was very inconvenient for her to come on the show. And I've been trying to organize this with Jane for a while to be on the show, so I really appreciate that she could come over here and do that. Thank you very much, Jane. Also, I want to say thank you to Real Punk Radio, realpunkradio.com, for airing Dispatch from the Underground every Wednesday night at 11 p.m. They have a ton of great programming over there, probably doing some spooky shit for Halloween. So if you're into spooky shit or punk music, go to realpunkradio.com and get down with all the wonderful programming they have over there. And we got a ton of shows that we're going to be talking about all throughout the episode. We're going to be playing some music for some people coming up with shows, and I'm going to have a lot more information at the end of the podcast about shows that are happening with All Torn Up, my band All Torn Up, and my band Skullcaster, and some other stuff. But I know Trashy also has some shows coming up, so hook up with them on Facebook at just type in Trashy Punks, P-U-N-X. That's usually how they do it. Or just Trashy NYC and punk music, and I think it'll come up. Or you can hood us up, and they'll be on our Facebook, and do us a like over there. There's a million ways for you to get down, folks. I just hope you keep on doing it. So let's get to some music, and then we're going to get to the discussion with Jane from Trashy. Get down. Let's start this episode the only place that makes sense. We're going to start this episode with a tune from Trashy right here from Brooklyn, New York. So here's Trashy. You can get their tunes at trashypunks.bandcamp.com. That's punks spelled P-U-N-X. So here it is, Trashy featuring Jane. Get down. What's up?
What's up?
How's it going?
It's good.
This is the first time you've been on the podcast.
Yes,
I think.
It is.
I really appreciate you making the trek over here. And it's a real trek because you're coming from like Michigan to come here.
not like Michigan.
Canada.
Kingston.
Kingston. That's fucking Jamaica. That's a hole, dude.
Different Kingston.
Oh, different Kingston. Fuck, my geography's getting weak. So thank you so much for getting down. Let's talk about what you do, because
Word.
I don't think we've played Trashy a lot on the episode, and we've talked about Jane a lot on the episode, because when Al's been on, we've talked about Trashy, and we've talked about everything y'all doing. But obviously, I don't have your perspective, and now you could talk tons of shit about Al.
About Al, yeah.
He's not here.
Fucking guy.
That's great. So you're in a band, Trashy, right here in Brooklyn. People have heard you because they've heard the show before, and also you've played some huge shows here in New York. You played with Choking Victim when they played here.
Yes, we did.
And it's fucking hopefully some good shows to come. But tell me about Trashy. What's up with Trashy? How can people what do you want to tell people about it?
Cool. So yeah, Trashy is the project that I play drums in. We're a three piece. We refer to ourselves as transcore punk. Because we're all transsexual, and that's a big part of the messaging that we like try to get across, and really about trying to bring the messages of like what trans people need in this world to the forefront, messages of support, messages of community and survival, those sorts of things.
And it's a punk band.
It's a punk band, yeah.
Yeah, so that's why you're on Dispatch. If it was a folk band, it'd be like, well, I guess we can still be on Dispatches, but we probably have been more clear about the folk element.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's not a folk.
It's a punk band, Joey.
It's a punk band. But you know, people listening in, maybe they haven't had a ton of experience being around trans folks before. It's not like you're doing a band only for trans people.
Right.
It's a band that is for everybody, but it's made up of folks who are trans.
Oh, yeah. 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 We have songs like from everything about like riding bikes and fucking to like...
At the same time.
And
not
double entendre, yeah. You know. And songs about like what it means to be visibly trans and and trying to like make your way home safe in this world. And I think that, you know, that's just like who we are as people, right? Riding bikes and fucking and trying to navigate the world as people.
Yeah. I mean, again, just because it's coming from a perspective that maybe they don't fully identify with, I don't think the songs, I love the songs. And I don't think there are anything that people can't relate to. I mean, it's just everything totally. People can relate to. Where can people find out about Trashy in order to get more tunes?
Yeah, so we're on iTunes. You can search just Trashy on iTunes. We've got like our EP up on there. We also have a small music video that we made for our tune called Urban Hellscape that's on YouTube.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Oh, it's pretty dope.
What the
fuck
is wrong with me? Yeah. Again, Al, dude, why don't you ever tell me this shit?
I don't know. I'm always telling him. You got to pitch the video, man. Dude. I worked hard on that video.
That's crazy.
It was like me and one other friend made that video.
All right, so Urban Hellscape.
Urban Hellscape.
Check out the YouTube video.
And we're also, you know, we're on the Facebooks. We're on the Twitters, the Instagrams.
You have a Bandcamp page, too, though.
We do have a Bandcamp page,
which is better for people to go to. If people are looking for the tunes, they should really go to Bandcamp and buy it. And if they can, put any money into the albums, because iTunes doesn't pay artists very much, but it's nice for folks to buy it directly from the source. So what's the Bandcamp? Do you know what the Bandcamp is?
I think it's called Trashy. I think it's Trashy Punks.
Oh, yeah.
Bandcamp.com. Yeah. You know, like if you got some money you want to throw in for the album, that's cool. Mostly we just want to like get our messages out there to people to like hear the stuff, you know. And if you're trans and you want to, you like need to hear some songs to make you feel like you're not alone, like that's the place to go.
And up the up, Queer Punks.
Yeah, going queer as well.
Best fucking songs of all time.
It's a good one.
Yeah, you don't like it so much?
No, it's not that I don't like it.
I still play it. all right, well, what shows y'all have coming up soon with Trashy?
Well, we're actually playing a cover show for Halloween.
Oh, nice.
We're playing as Les Go. Which is our Rancid cover band. We've played as this conglomeration several times because we all fucking love Rancid.
Conglomeration is the biggest word anyone's ever used on this podcast.
Yeah, there
you
go.
Win. You win nothing, but
conglomeration.
That's the word.
Yeah.
That's what you win. The accolades.
I don't even know if that's the right word.
Literally ones of people out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's totally the right word, 100%. So Les Go, fucking Rancid though. Rancid is such a terrible band.
Oh man. Okay. Okay. Yeah. No. That's
okay.
Fine.
I mean, I guess people dig them or whatever. I don't know how people with such great taste that obviously the people in Trashy are can also be appreciative of such terrible music like Rancid. But I guess
we also love horrible music.
Oh,
you know?
That's true. It's Al totally does fun. Have really bad taste.
Al has really bad taste.
It's so weird how people with the worst taste make the best music.
It's true.
Because I bet Tim Armstrong has amazing taste.
Yeah,
I mean that's why he makes such terrible music.
I really also love the Distillers, and he wrote all the words for the lyrics for the Distillers. Wrote
Did
all
he
the
really?
Tunes. Yeah, because he was dating Brody Dale.
He wrote the words for that band.
Oh yeah,
damn.
Yeah. Totally.
I kind of like the Distillers.
I love the Distillers.
Now I feel really bad.
Yeah, now you get to think of them like singing the Distillers songs with like Tim Armstrong's like fucking slurred like words.
That is why I don't like Rancid. I like all the songs. All the arrangements are good. The songs are catchy as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
But his goddamn voice makes me want to fucking choke myself to
but
death.
But Al does it really well.
Does he?
Oh, he does. Especially when he gets like drunk and then he just starts like slurring all the words together. It's like he was like made. He was made to play in a Rancid cover band.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny. Once he gets drunk enough, he can start. Anyone can start sounding like Tim Armstrong. Once
that's totally
drunk
true. That's I don't even know if Tim Armstrong actually plays his guitar anymore.
Oh, really?
I hope he doesn't listen to this.
Cause... Oh, yeah. I hope he doesn't either. I'll edit all this out and fucking send him a version for Tim, the Tim version. Yeah,
yeah, totally.
It's just positive shit. I mean, he does great. I love the Interrupters. And that's his,
you
his,
love
like,
the Interrupters?
I do. I like the Interrupters. Okay. They're not good?
It's fine. That's fine. That's fine. Yeah.
I love those tunes. I think they're amazing. Okay. But, you know, again, obviously I've very clearly established myself as having terrible taste on this podcast. So it's nothing to... So here's the thing people might not know out there in the world, but in New York, and I think in some other cities, I guess, too, cover shows are a huge, huge thing.
Oh, it's a big thing.
Around Halloween, people who are in bands, they pretend to be other bands, like dress up as other bands, or mm-hmm. even they don't necessarily dress up as them, but they play cover sets of other bands, like Trashy doing Rancid as Les Go.
And Al and I have done so many different cover bands over the year, because we originally were playing together in Girl Crush, and we did, as Girl Crush, we covered Discount, which was really fun. And we covered Saves the Day. Oh, my God. That was amazing. Saves the Day. I love me some pop punk. So it's totally fine.
I'm literally like an acid.
Do you need a barf bag?
No, it's not barfing. It's like the stress of hearing
pop punk.
Knowing that y'all are such good people.
We did an Alkaline Trio cover band.
Oh, my God. It gets worse.
Al actually played drums in that one. And he played them way too fast. But...
it gets even worse, though, actually, too. Because then there was also... There was a Cox Bar cover band.
Oh, my God, yes. We played in a Cox Bar cover band. Al played drums in that one. I friended that one. That was so much fun. I love Cox Bar.
Oh, dude.
It's totally fine.
I guess Cox Bar is pretty good if, like, you don't have any skinheads at the show. So,
yeah.
A cover band might actually be a good idea for that band.
Right.
That might actually be improving.
Right, exactly.
Al and I are doing a Halloween show this year. We're playing in a Danzig cover band. Al is very generous to allow me to play in a Danzig cover band when he doesn't give a fuck about Danzig. Called Catzig, and that's going to be at El Cortez on the 30th. Where's Les Go playing?
I don't know, man.
That's not.
I don't know.
I'm not responsible for that.
I'm like the worst person to like ask about like where the band's playing because I just show up.
It's okay. I think I know. I think it's on the 28th, right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, it's on the 28th, and I believe it's in Brooklyn, but I'm not sure where it's at. So yeah, sure. I'm sure you could. We'll post it on our Facebook page if you go to Dispatch from the Underground on Facebook. We'll have information for that, and we'll definitely have information for the Catzig cover that Al will be in on the 30th. The cover sets, I never get sick of seeing them.
Like, oh, they're so much fun.
Amazing musicians who are, and sadly, oftentimes when we do cover sets, there'll be more people there to see your cover band than come to see your band that you write original fucking music for, which is entirely way too stressful.
The first time that we played as Les Go was, it was something like three years ago or something crazy like that. We played at Death by Audio, and that was still a venue.
Sure.
And
big venue. It was a big place, big DIY space in New York.
And people went fucking nuts. Oh my God. There was like beer bottles flying through the air and people like fucking crowd surfing and like losing their minds.
That's
and I was
crazy.
Like, why has this never happened
at
like an actual show?
Trashy is way better than Rancid.
It's very true.
Way better than Rancid.
It's very true.
The only issue is that no one has a ridiculous looking beard like Tim Armstrong in the band.
Al could work on it.
No human being has the time or patience to grow a beard like Tim Armstrong. Like, you got to go in like hibernation for that
shit.
You
just like spirit gum some hair on.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So what is your favorite cover band that you've seen someone do? Like,
not that
you've been involved in. Obviously, your favorite cover band is fucking Rancid. That's dumb shit. But
okay.
But one that you've seen someone else do that you really enjoyed.
Uh huh.
You can put Attitude Adjuster's soul music off to the side. You don't have to say that.
Yeah, that's fine. No, it's I don't know who that band is. the first time that we played as Rancid, actually somebody else covered the Distillers, which I thought was pretty, like, I don't know, that was kind of like on the nose, worked well together.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Did they open for you?
Yeah, they did.
Okay, good. Just keep it consistent. Yeah.
Yeah. And they fucking killed it. And that was fucking amazing. And it was like all ladies
and
they just like fucking smashed these like really hardcore like punk songs. Nice. I mean, maybe you don't think of the Distillers as hardcore, but I really like the Distillers a lot. They were really important to me like as a young punk.
I like the Distillers. Yeah, they're good.
Yeah. And then most recent times, I'm not a huge fan of Rage Against the Machine. Mm. I do, you know, like some of their tunes, but some people play at a Rage Against the Machine cover band. And they played really well.
Do you, there is an actual, like, not a Halloween cover band, but there's an all-female Rage Against the Machine cover band, I think, in the Northeast, and they crush it.
Yeah.
Super fucking good. So I love Rage. I'm a huge Rage fan. I think they're one of the best bands of all time. And an all-female Rage Against the Machine, I'm like, oh, yes. Yeah. What the fuck? That's amazing. So, yeah. And they're really good. So that's tough. It's hard to do those songs because those songs are so complicated.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's hard to do punk songs, too, because there's so much emotion in them. Mm-hmm. So when you're covering those tunes, I feel like, and you just do it differently. It's just tough, and it doesn't often come off well. I did go to our mutual friend Kate Hughes did a cover show, and she was playing in a whole cover band, which was amazing. But at that show, there was a Jawbreaker cover band, mm-hmm. and I fucking hate Jawbreaker, like, with a passion. Like, it is awful music. And when you try to describe Jawbreaker to people, like, it oozes out of you. You're just like, it's like emo. It's like every descriptive word you can come up with for Jawbreaker is
just
horrible.
Like, feels bad.
Oh yeah, it's like, oh yeah, it makes sense that this band is as bad as it is. Uh-huh. But that band, I love when good musicians, or even bad musicians, honestly, cover really, really bad music. Uh-huh. Like Jawbreaker, that was one of the best cover sets I've ever seen. They covered it, and you're like, oh my god, that doesn't even sound like a Jawbreaker song. It sounds so much better when they do it this way.
Yeah.
I love it. So that was my favorite.
Yeah. One year, some people also covered the Goo Goo Dolls.
Awesome.
And that was fucking amazing. I thought it was going to be awful. Yeah. And I was like, I don't even know any Goo Goo Dolls song, but I knew every song.
Of course you do.
Because, like, I was like, oh, this is a Goo Goo Dolls? Like, whatever.
Yeah, I've ridden an elevator before. Yeah, I've heard of Goo Goo
Dolls.
And,
like, they just fucking, like, smashed it. And everyone there was just, like, singing along, just like a bunch of idiots.
That's awesome.
Children of the 90s.
Yeah. More, please, please, dear Lord of Music, that is people out there, I guess, more cover bands of bands everyone hates. I mean, I should like Rancid. Okay, I'm coming to the show.
Come to the show.
And I'll know all the songs, because every punk is required to know every Rancid lyric.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that none of his lyrics make any sense.
We're even playing some of the really bad ones.
What the fuck
ones?
Is a Ruby, Ruby, Ruby Soho? Like, what
We're
is that?
We're definitely not playing Ruby Soho.
Oh, come on.
I will
dude.
Never.
Why?
Okay, listen. I love Rancid, but I hate Ruby Soho.
Okay.
I fucking hate that song.
I mean,
that's... And I like some bad Rancid songs.
They're all Ruby Soho.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Jane needs to take a break now because she's visibly angry. So
I gotta go walk outside for a second.
We're gonna take a break and we're gonna talk about some serious shit on the flip side of this episode. So make sure you guys, if you didn't catch that before, you can rewind the episode, you lazy fuckers. But if you didn't, go to trashypunks.bandcamp.com, give them some money, download some tunes, and just fucking sing them all day because they're the best of everything catchy.
It's true.
And none
we're very
of
good
Rancid.
Looking.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you think about having a model for your cover. You don't need one because you guys can just do it, but
it's true.
I'll do it.
Okay.
If you want me to, just let me know.
Okay.
Trashypunks.bandcamp.com. And Les Go is performing, I think, October 28th here in Brooklyn. And Kat Zig is performing on the 30th. So we'll see you all in Halloween.
Yeah. Halloween is like a week long.
Yeah, it's a month, dude. It's from October. It's all
Yeah.
Get your costume. Do you have a costume? Do you know what you're gonna dress up as?
I usually go as like Lara Croft because basically it's what I dress like anyways. I don't have to work that hard.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I dress up. My go to is a dead cop.
Okay. That's a good one.
And everyone's like, "Why are you doing the same thing every year?" I'm like, "That's the only thing I wish for." So right. I'm just gonna.
And Halloween is the time of wishes.
Yeah, it's a myriad of wishes all day and month. It down. My band All Torn Up is going to be doing a little tour in Canada this November, this around Thanksgiving time here in the U.S., November 22nd to the 26th. We're great. We're super happy to be getting out of the United States for Thanksgiving because it's a miserable fucking holiday, unlike the wonderful holiday we're celebrating in this episode being Halloween. But we're super happy to be getting out of the States for this miserable holiday in the first place. But on top of that, to be going and playing these shows, opening up for this incredible band, we're honored to be on the bill. We're honored to be even allowed to play with this band. I mean, it's just a huge, huge pleasure for us, especially doing it in another country. If you're in Canada and you listen to Dispatches, we're playing London, Montreal, a couple of dates in Montreal. I think they're selling out quickly in Montreal. So if you're in Montreal and want to go to the show, make sure you get your tickets quickly if there are any left. And we're playing Toronto, and I think there's one more show I'm forgetting, maybe Quebec. I'm not sure, but we're playing those dates in Toronto. So come check us out. And again, I can't say enough for how honored we are to be playing on these bills with this band. Here is a band that I'm sure you've heard before and you're going to hear again right now. Here is the Subhumans from the United Kingdom. Get down.
No, I don't believe in Jesus Christ. My mother died of cancer when I was 5. No, I don't believe in religion. I was forced to go to church. I wasn't told why. No, I don't believe in the police. For police brutality isn't a dream. No, I don't believe in the system. But nothing in does make sense to me. Don't worry, you'll get over it. You'll grow up. You'll come down, another you, another fashion. You'll get over it, you'll calm down. You don't really mean what you say. You've had too much to drink. Don't be so full of hatred. It's not as bad as you think. No, I don't believe in what you say. You're just part of what I despise. Yes, you're part of the fucking system. I am blind, I can see your lies. System fried on ignorance. What a public don't know. I can't reject in the face of you all. I stand defiant. The rest of the people, they wanna forget.
All right, we're going to go from the joyest of joys and the myriad of joy that is Halloween the myriad of wishes. Thank you. That was my quote. Let's live that one down. We're going to go from the myriad of wishes that is Halloween to some actually fucked up dark shit. We're going to talk about guns. I mean, maybe, I guess some people out there might not think that. And maybe we're going to go to those places and maybe I agree with them a little bit. But obviously, we're talking about this in the wake of this massive shooting in Vegas. Mm-hmm. You know, we're recording this a little bit earlier than we're posting it. So maybe there's more information that has come out since then. And I'll preface the rest of our comments with they might be slightly outdated. As we don't know a ton. At the point where we're recording this, we don't know a ton of information about this fucking guy who did the shooting. But people who don't know... there was a mass shooting in Vegas, I think the second or the first or second of October earlier this month. Something like 1,000, over 1,000 rounds were fired from multiple machine guns from the 32nd floor of a casino on a crowd of country music fans. I think there were country music fans who were at a music festival. And 50 people died. At least 50 people died. Although I think that there's that number's climbing, as far as we know.
Last I heard, it was 58.
And so almost at least 58 and climbing still. And hundreds of other people wounded. And it's obviously a traumatic experience for anyone who lives there. But also, we're getting used to it. Like when you hear the international news talk about this shit, they're like, "Oh, another mass shooting in America." You know, and this happens other places too. It's a little bit different, but you know, in industrialized like countries, this doesn't happen like this.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about guns in the wake of that, and some of the things that I say, I'm not going to speak for Jane, might be slightly insensitive, but you know, the truth or whatever I'm saying needs to be spoken. So, I mean. You know, here's the thing, Jane. I didn't even think about this. They were like country music fans, so initially I was a little jaded. I was like, okay, it's country music fans. I don't know. I mean, it sounds like chickens coming home to roost a little bit, and that's fucked up. But these aren't troops. These aren't warriors. These are people at a country music festival.
Right.
But I wasn't like, okay, I mean, I know people in Vegas, but I don't know anybody at a country music festival. I didn't think about the workers, though.
Yeah.
Because I have some friends who are like bartenders there, and I went to practice the other night, and my friend was like, "Oh, our mutual friend's okay," and I'm like, "Of course she's okay," it was a country music festival. She's not going to a country music festival. He's like, oh, no, she was scheduled to work that. And I'm like, what the fuck? I didn't think about bartenders, dude, yeah. You know?
Yeah. And, so, like, people with, like, valeting cars and, like, yeah. All kinds of shit out there. Like,
really. So, our, you know, even it only it took it to, personal to me. And obviously, I was a jaded piece of shit prior to that. I didn't think about it because I'm an insensitive motherfucker. But, you know, get personal. It gets a little better. It gets a little better of a feeling. It gets a little more real feeling.
Close to home.
Yeah. But, Jane, you know, people talk about guns a lot.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're both on the left-wing side of things. Mm-hmm. I would say most people would expect us to believe in fervent gun control laws, but I don't actually know your opinion on it. So sure. How do you feel about guns in general? Like, can you lay it on me?
So I actually, I grew up in the country. I grew up in a very rural community, and I actually grew up with guns. I, like, learned how to shoot them when I was, like, 12, you know? So I'm super aware of them, very like knowledgeable about them. I'm not scared of guns. It's something that I grew up, like, you know, I grew up hunting, grew up like doing things like that. So I'm not afraid of guns, and I honestly personally don't think that it is just guns that is the problem, but I think at a certain point, our country needs to really take a look at the way that we view guns and what we view as being the most important thing about them. When I grew up around guns, it was always understood that you never, ever, ever, ever pointed it at another person. Not even pointed it, whether it was loaded, unloaded. It didn't matter.
Unless you wanted to kill them.
Right, yeah. Right. But that was the thing, was yeah. That it was not a thing that in that, you know, use was meant to be used to kill people. And when people start talking about gun regulation and they get so up in arms about, like,
that's funny,
up in arms, yeah, about, you sorry, know, just like the basic control of, like, limiting 30 round magazines and yeah. Like, you know, those implements are meant for taking the lives of humans. Mm-hmm. Nobody is hunting with a 30 round magazine.
Yeah, you don't need to hunt a herd of buffalo.
Right. Yeah. Like, nobody needs that mm-hmm. outside of a war zone. And, like, I mean, it's just, it's the thought that, like, we shouldn't control that, to me, is ridiculous.
I see your point, for sure. And, you know, I did not grow up around guns, so totally the opposite mm-hmm. is true. Never, I mean, I've fired guns, and firing ranges, obviously, if there's any law listening, it's, like, totally illegal and legitimate how I fire those weapons. But, and I'm definitely afraid of guns. Like, if I see a gun, like, I've had guns pulled on me.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, I gotta go clean my fucking pants now. I'll be back. And then we can right. continue this conversation, and I'll shit my pants again. I mean, it's a terrifying experience. I'm definitely afraid of them. I'm afraid of every police officer out there because they have a fucking yes. gun, and they yes. definitely want to kill me. If they knew who I was, they'd want to kill me more. But I do, and I see your point, and I see all these points that people trying to limit the number of guns on the street. I see all of that, and I appreciate that. I just feel like we spend so much time trying to limit them mm-hmm. that, to me, I think it's a misplaced effort. Like, you know, it is pretty outrageous to think about how much the conversation has changed. Like, you had a band like Lynyrd Skynyrd, a fucking backward Confederate
right.
fucking flag-waving piece of shit group.
It's like in their logo.
Yeah, it's in their fucking logo. I think they may have taken it out. I think they've actually moved, whatever. They were okay. They fucking sang dumb shit back in the day.
Right, they're a horrible band.
They have a song called Mr. Saturday Night Special. Mm-hmm. It's about, you know, Mr. 38 or something like that. I don't know the name of the fucking song. And it's about how they should take all handguns and throw them into the ocean because they're terrible and they don't do anything good.
Right.
And you're like, that's a fucking right-wing band trying to get rid of a fucking revolver because they're dangerous. Mm-hmm. And now you have the conversation, like, where you have a liberal being like, well, a handgun would be okay. You know, it's just like right. how fucking crazy shit has moved. And now, you know, Vegas has the most, I don't want to say liberal because that's going to get confusing, the like, most relaxed gun laws in the country. You can get a gun, you can get a machine gun in Las Vegas, in Nevada, without a permit, mm-hmm. without any fucking permits. That's crazy to me, like, the fact that no one is even keeping track of people who have fucking bunkers of machine guns. Not like they're not getting them around them anyway. I know right. dudes who got fucked up guns, obviously they're getting around them. But the fact that you can get it legally, is crazy. Like, people who are getting it illegally are going to be careful about when they're shooting them. At least I think so.
Right.
But, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm being...
Well, I mean, even in, like, the Pulse massacre, right? Like, the gun that was, like, used in that was obtained legally. Like, most of these, like, recent shootings, like, the firearms have been obtained legally. And everybody's like, oh, well, people will find them, like, anyway, like, legally or illegally. But that's not even, like, a point to, like, what we're saying, because people have gotten these literally assault rifles, literally meant for killing people, just, like, over the counter.
Yeah, I mean, I think leftists in general, we agree that machine guns are probably not something that should be made legal.
Right.
Probably something that shouldn't really be made in general.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, I'll play devil's advocate for a second. You could talk me off the ledge.
Okay.
Jane has a history of correcting my stupidity, and I feel like we're going to continue that on these episodes. But I feel like if the cops are going to have guns, this is the thing I think about America.
Mm-hmm.
In the United States, all the police have guns. This is not true for police everywhere else in the world. In most industrialized or advanced countries, whatever you want to call them, capitalist, you know, mega economies, whatever you want to call them, the police have a limited access to weapons. And that's changed a little bit with terrorism alerts, but it's mostly true. But in the United States, cops have access to a fucking arsenal. They are military at this point. They are fucking massive. They have access to tanks. In 1992, we saw that tank roll down the street in Los Angeles. Like, we see them, and they're in with their guns in our face all the time, actively murdering black and brown people constantly.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like as long as cops in this country have guns and have access to those weapons, I think it's better that we, the people, in opposition to them, have access to those weapons, including machine guns, because I think that they're the biggest threat to peace and security and freedom and all these other things people want, or I don't know what freedom is or whatever. But if you feel like if they're going to have them, we should have them. And, you know, I'm not collecting them. I don't have any guns. I just want to repeat that again. I do not have any fucking guns.
Joey Steele, no guns.
I have no guns. I would definitely kill myself or someone who did not fucking deserve it, like, very quickly. Like, I'm definitely a dude who should not have guns. And most people, I feel like all dudes should have to go through, like, anger management courses if they get weapons. Like, if you're going to buy a weapon, you should have to unbro yourself, like, unmacho yourself.
Right.
You should have to go through, like, sensitivity awareness training for, like, 2 years
right.
before you buy a gun.
Anything,
that seems reasonable.
Really, like, anything
yeah.
that would, you know, regulate that a little bit would be good. But so, I mean, I hear your point, and as I was trying to, or as I started to say earlier, I don't personally believe that it's really guns so much that are the problem as it is this country's obsession with violence and this country's obsession with, like, needing to be macho or, like, whatever. I don't even exactly know what it is, but I know that as a country we are obsessed with violence.
Interesting.
And, you know, and the thing is, like, okay, like, the cops are going to have guns, so then we should have the guns, but I can't think of any situation in which somebody who has that kind of gun is getting it to protect themselves from the police. Because the kind of person who can carry that gun around, like, out in the open is not somebody that's worried about the police, right? Like, so, like, black and brown people can't carry, they can't open carry assault rifles.
Mm.
Like, even if it's in a state where it's legal, just because, like, And there's been videos posted of this of, like, you know, white people open carrying and the
yeah.
cops pull up and they're just like, hey, what are you doing there?
Yeah.
And then a black man, like, open carrying and instantly, like, I'm can't believe he wasn't more afraid. Like, because
yeah.
instantly those cops jump out of the car, guns raised, telling him to get on the ground. And he's just like texting, like, he has this assault. And so the idea that it's an even field for all people to be able to protect ourselves from the police just isn't true. But I do hear what you're saying, where at a certain point, like, you do want to be able to protect yourself, like, from the cops, but, like, is that even going to be possible? Like, are you even going to actually be able to carry that assault rifle around to protect yourself from the police?
Well, this is the point. I actually think this is exactly the point. I wish Sean Bell had a gun.
That's mm-hmm. what,
you know, like, they all assumed he had a gun. They were saying he had a gun. They fired 50 shots. They fired 50 shots at him. If he had a gun, he could have actually stopped that fight. At least he would have had a fucking chance. Like, he could have killed a cop and gotten out of it, possibly.
But it wouldn't have made a difference. He would have died either way.
It might not. Maybe he killed a cop. Maybe he gets away.
Maybe he killed a cop.
You know, like, there's a chance. But cops, at this point, they assume all black people have guns anyway.
Right.
And they don't carry them more often than not because right. they know they're going to be killed if they have them.
Right.
So at least if everybody had a gun, that fucking cop is going to think twice about pulling a gun on his friend because that pig is going to get shot.
Right.
So like that threat of him having to face the real ramifications of somebody else unlawfully shooting him, maybe if that was true and the people who were surrounding Sean Belt seeing him get shot unlawfully, unjustly, maybe then they would shoot back at the cops. I just feel like that threat would actually cause the police to think twice about shooting black people. I could be wrong. You know, I think it's a dangerous game. It's, you know, we're talking like mutually assured mm-hmm. destruction type shit.
Well, because like, okay, so you're saying that cops are shooting black and brown people because they assume that they already have guns, but they don't. But if they actually did have the guns, I mean, then they would know for sure that they have guns. Like, I just don't see mm-hmm. how that's going to change like the thought process there, like the, like I say, like the issue yep. isn't like whether or not the people have the guns. The issue is racism.
Right.
Like that's what's making the cops like feel quote unquote like afraid because they're afraid of black and brown people. They're not afraid of the guns.
But we've tried for decades to stop cops being racist.
Oh, cops aren't going to stop being racist.
So you
like,
can only think, the only thing you can do is threaten them. And if there were more people and not just them, mm-hmm. not just the people that they're shooting at in those instances. Now you're talking, if everyone had guns, now you're talking like if someone was around those cops and saw them doing that, they might get shot by someone else, not even in the line of fire.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's more, you know, it would basically be a level playing field, I feel like, if there were more guns out there. Look, I'm not saying this is a fully developed thought process. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe this is just me being a provocative piece of shit. But I do feel like if there are guns on their side, then we should be able to protect ourselves from the real threat of the police and that they've proven themselves to be, you know. And if they're going to assume black people have guns, they better have them. There was a great book. It's outdated now, obviously, because it was written in like the 50s by Robert F. Williams called Negroes with Guns. That's mm-hmm. the name of the book. People should check it out. It's really important. It's about armed self-defense. And I just feel like that, even though the book itself is outdated, it's a different time period. I feel like that idea is still very relevant in terms of what black and brown people are facing with the police. And, you know, people talk about them being new Klansmen, but really, and that book was written about the Klan, but it really is the same situation on a different level and painted a different color, mm-hmm. you know, or covered in a different sheet or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't have a right to say it either because I'm not under that fear of, you know, if cops know me, they might want to shoot me, but they're not going to see me and want to shoot me.
Right.
They're going to see me and want to bro down with me.
Right. Well, and that's the thing is like, we're both white people, so we can sit here and extrapolate on like yeah. what it would feel like to have a gun to protect ourselves from the police because we're not people that the police are actively looking to kill upon sight.
Yeah.
I personally just like don't believe that the answer is more guns. Mm-hmm. I don't think the answer is also really more gun control. I think that responsible gun control and like common sense gun control is just that. It's fucking common sense. Like you don't give a car to just anybody because they want it, you know, like you have to learn how to use it. Yeah. And that's the thing, like having a gun is one thing, but if you can't use it responsibly, if you don't know how to use it and you don't know the right way to use it, you're not going to protect yourself. You're going to hurt other people.
Yeah.
One of my hometowns in Kansas, Lawrence, Kansas, town that I actually love very dearly.
You go to school there?
I did go to school here. There, yeah. It's
all leftists in Kansas living Lawrence.
Totally. Like, yeah. Lawrence is the only place to ever visit in Kansas. But there was actually a shooting there that happened on the main street of Lawrence, Kansas, on Mass Street, when all the bars were being let out. And it happened in, like, a violent altercation. And all the people that were killed were not anybody that was being shot at. They were all, like, innocent bystanders that got hit by stray bullets. And that's a thing that, like, people don't really think about when it comes to guns is that bullets don't stop where you aim them. They keep going. You know, we see movies where like bullets are flying everywhere and they hit windows and then, you know, you never see the end of it. But the bullet doesn't stop at that window. The bullet doesn't stop at that like glass of water that it shattered, right? It has to have something stop it. And more often than not, that's a person. Mm. And so if people are just like willy-nilly carrying guns around and think they're going to like be the hero in the situation and they're not they don't actually know how to handle weapons or know like how to deal in like a fight with a gun or like whatever, like they're not going to do it right, and more people are going to get hurt. And that's why I think we need to start. If people like want to carry guns, then they need to be educated about how to use them.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think your driver's license point is really good. I'll say before we proceed, on the prior point about us being two crackers, we shouldn't really talk about this shit. I fully agree. That's why I think people should check out Robert F. Williams' work. And there's a whole lot of other folks who are talking on that subject. So check out Robert F. Williams. He's passed away since then, but there's great stuff out there. But I do think the driver's license point, to bring it back to this, is a really good point. You know, you got these fucking right-wing pieces of shit. I hope that deeply offends everyone who's a right-wing piece of shit out there and listening to this. I don't know why you still listen to this. There is actually Dispatches from the Conservative Underground, by the way, who started after my shit.
It's
fucking weird.
From the Conservative Underground.
It's so weird. But I do think, you know, they cry and cry and cry victim about they don't want to be, they don't have any government oversight. Mm-hmm. But they have a driver's license, and it is a very fucking good thing to have a driver's license. And they would be the first ones to call a cop and like get someone in trouble for not driving with a driver's license. Because if you're going to drive, you should have a driver's license.
Right.
Because it's dangerous shit. You're driving around thousands of pounds of fucking metal that could hurt somebody. You should know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand how people are going to have guns without not only knowing how to use it, fuck knowing how to use it. It takes a chimpanzee, no offense to chimpanzees, I really don't want to offend them. It takes a chimpanzee to fucking use a weapon, a gun, but to have the mentality to pull a gun. I don't have that mentality.
Right.
I shouldn't have a fucking gun. Right. Like, I'm a maniac. Like, definitely shouldn't. I would definitely never pass the sensitivity training that should be required to have a fucking firearm. Like, there should not be a weapon around me. I shouldn't be allowed to get it. And obviously every cop shouldn't have that, or they should be fucking trained in sensitivity to other people's problems before you're allowed to do that shit. And I just think that that would actually, even though I was joking a little bit about sensitivity training, I think that would actually be a really good solution. Like, you're required to go through 2 years of weekly sensitivity training before you fucking own you know, a 45 or something with a fucking magazine, you know?
Or do like, you know, when they do those, like quizzes to like find out how racist people are, like maybe make someone go through that, because that also affects like how you see the world and how you feel unsafe, because people pull guns, people want guns for situations when they feel unsafe. And this has been true like for cops too. Like, cops pull guns when they feel unsafe. It doesn't necessarily mean that they are unsafe. Right. And more often than not, they feel unsafe when it's black and brown people there, because that, you know, because of fucking racism. And so until we start like unpacking these things about like what that means, that is just going to be compounded with gun violence.
I think the race issue is a huge part of this. I also think, you know, we talked a little bit about manliness in this process, but, and I'm not a woman, so I don't fully appreciate the danger of other men on that front. But I can't imagine, I mean, so many of these domestic violence situations spiral out of control because of weapons, because mm-hmm. those are pulled so quickly. And it's, you know, I would imagine, although I don't have these numbers next to me, that a woman is more likely to be shot by her partner, her husband or her boyfriend, than a terrorist. So, you know, I feel like this is also the same situation. Like, you should be required, but if you're going to get a weapon, if you're going to have a handgun of any caliber, of any fucking sort, you should be required to go through training, you know, not only racial training, like sensitivity training on those fronts, and take tests, psychological tests, to see if you're a racist. But I think there needs to be psychologists involved in assessing someone's, you know, propensity toward misogyny, because this is likely where they're going to be fucking in stressful situations at home, in a stressful situation with their partner or with their wife or whatever. And they should people who are going to give them a license to get a weapon should know, are these people likely to pull that weapon on someone that they care about, or some, you know, or a woman in general?
Right. And I think earlier,
so easy
when
to fucking do those things, it'd be so easy to put these tests into place. Why wouldn't that happen? You know, just like, if you want to have tons of guns out there, just make a psychological testing and sensitivity training part of it.
Right. But there is so much political opposition to that. And I personally cannot see a reason why there would be. You know, the NRA like just throws up fucking roadblocks like left and right anytime anybody wants to like try and pass any kind of common sense like gun legislation, which is, you know, not to be insensitive, but it is a little ironic that this happened at a country music festival, mm-hmm. when like that, you know, that demographic of people is generally God, gas, and guns, you know, yep. and for that, like for those chickens to come home to roost, like you were yeah. saying, like, I personally hope that that maybe changes some of the messaging that's being out there in that world. Look, I mean, cause like, right. Like, okay. We always say like guns don't kill people. People kill people. Right. Like that's what people always say, but there's no way that that guy would have been able to fire off 1,000 rounds if yeah. like we had had regulations on assault rifles and high capacity magazines. Like mm-hmm. there's no way that guy would have been able to shoot 200 plus people before like a response from the police if there was any kind of regulation on that. So yeah, maybe people do kill people, but whether or not you kill like 200 people, that's easily avoided,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, no, amen. I just want to say before, the guns, gas, and God thing makes me say amen all the time. If you're going to do some of the insensitive stuff, then we need to make clear on whose roles are what here.
Oh, sorry. Because did I overstep?
Yeah, this is actually my podcast.
Okay, my bad. That's misogynistic, Joey, to say that a woman can't be insensitive.
Well, just wait, because I want to get my fucking...
They're even more insensitive. So
listen,
there we go.
Listen.
Status quo. Upheld.
This fucking podcast is done. That's it. All right. No, that was incredibly insensitive of you to call mm-hmm. me misogynist there. Yep. There, Jane. So this podcast is over. I think that if we have come to any conclusions through this, I feel like it's super fucking clear that Joey Steele and Jane from Trashy should be the ones responsible for fucking coordinating gun laws. I think we've proven ourselves experts.
Yeah, I think honestly, you know, that guns? If somebody were to come to me and be like, "Can this person have a gun?" Like, I could probably, like, just by looking at their Facebook page, say yes or no.
Yeah, well, I was both of us. I put us both in there, but you just pushed me out again. That's fine.
Well, you're a man, so your point of view is a little skewed.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is you're a good person and usually level-headed, although you said some nasty things about me a few minutes ago. And you said some very insensitive things about Las Vegas, which was my department, but whatever, we'll look past those.
Okay.
You are a nice person who knows guns, and I'm a fucking maniac who knows bros.
That's true.
And I
That's
feel
true.
Like, done.
Okay.
We got
sold.
This.
You sold me on this. We could definitely do this.
Listen, NRA or whatever dumbass name.
The NRA isn't going to put us in charge of anything. They want us as far from gun control.
No, but that's the thing.
Right.
Is they probably listen to this.
Oh, I bet they do.
Yeah. And so I'll cut this out, but they probably listen to this. So we'll just like... tell them to mm-hmm. fucking put us in charge, and they won't even know it's a bet. Like, they think we're very reasonable,
right? They're like, we should like,
we're not gonna make
assholes.
More regulations, we're uh-huh. just going to choose the people who are going to allow to be able to have the guns,
right?
My problem solved, your problem solved, NRA's happy, guns are still going out,
yeah,
people still getting guns,
yeah,
they're just going through Jane and Joey, no big deal. Give me a call, we'll fucking sort this
we'll figure this out.
Yeah, no problem. NRA, you got my number, dude. They're Jane's number, it's one of us, it's no problem.
I'm sure it's on some database.
Yeah, no problem. You get a hold of the FBI, they got our numbers. Get down. All right, let's take another break. Let's listen to another tune. I saw these guys play actually in the United Kingdom. They are not from the UK, they're from Los Angeles, and I was blown away when I saw them play. I really dug their sound. I think they're doing something very catchy, very original, that not a lot of people are doing with punk music today. And on first glance, you might say that they're doing some things that are very traditional punk, but I feel like they're doing something pretty special. I dug them a lot, and they were super cool. And actually, my band Skullcaster is going to be doing a West Coast tour in December, and I reached out to these guys just because I didn't know a whole lot of other bands in LA, and this band, Nacho from this band, said, hell yeah, I never heard you guys before. He saw All Torn Up play at Rebellion Fest as well. He said, yeah, of course, your other band was sick. Let's do this, no problem. And he helped me out. And I just think that spirit of camaraderie and mutual respect amongst political punk bands is so exceptional and so rare. And the fact that these guys encapsulated it, on top of the fact that they have such incredible tunes, I was blown away by them, and I'm very, very, very impressed. Here is a band from Los Angeles. They're holding the whole scene down. They know what's going on in LA. They know what's going on. I shouldn't say they're holding them down. They're holding up the whole scene in LA. They're doing a fucking incredible job. This band is called Corrupted Youth from Los Angeles, California. Check them out. Get down. What I am. right, that's the end of the episode. I want to thank you all for getting down with us again this week. I really appreciate everybody who keeps on tuning in right here to Dispatches. You will always be able to get our episodes at dispatchfromtheunderground.com. Please, if you do listen to us on Apple, iTunes, or whatever you call it, please leave a rating. It takes 2 seconds. It's a huge help. So stop what you're doing right now if you're not driving a car. If you're driving a car, then continue to drive your car. But if you're in a position to stop what you're doing, go to iTunes, find Dispatches, leave the 5-star rating, leave a comment telling why you dig this show, and you don't even have to mention how handsome I am, although that is true. You don't have to mention it, okay? You could just mention whatever you dig about the podcast other than that. But it is a huge help to us, and it lets other people know that they should listen. And frankly, this is the only way people are going to find out about Dispatches. We are 100% DIY. Everybody comes on this podcast is not getting paid a single penny. I promise you very much that I am not either. And the only way people are going to hear about it is if you let them know. So please let them know. It's important to me and it's important to the podcast, which I hope you dig because you're listening. And if you're not, if you don't dig it, then I don't know why you're listening, but I guess keep doing that anyway. I want to say thank you to Jane again. She came from very far away to do the show with us, and I really appreciate it. It's a huge help to us, and I thought her perspective was original and genuine and wonderful and really made me think about stuff differently, so I appreciate it. Not about Rancid. That was a whack-ass perspective. But her perspective on guns, I think, was really healthy and level-headed, and I really appreciated that. The Rancid stuff was just fucking terribly wrong. But whatever. You know, I could be wrong, too. I'm going to go to the show she's playing with Lesgo, and maybe she'll get my head straight that way. So I admit that I'm most likely wrong about everything. So I should go. I should check my shit before I start talking, which I didn't do. Anyway, thank you very much, Jane. I really appreciate it. Her band, Trashy, is incredible. It's not just me saying that because I'm friends with them. I'm friends with them because I thought their band was incredible, and then I wanted to talk to them and hang out with them, do more stuff with them. I love their band. They are incredible. Go to trashypunks.bandcamp.com. Give them a couple bucks if you can and get their tunes. They are up there for free. I believe they're up there for free, so you can get around that. But it would be good if you gave them a couple bucks before you did that. It's exhausting making these tunes, and would be nice to see a dollar thank you. I know I would appreciate it. Hint, hint. But I'm sure they would as well. Thank you again. Everybody listens in. I do want to say that we have a lot of out-of-town dates. So if you're not in New York City and you dig this podcast, please come hang out at the shows we have going on out of town. My band Skullcaster is going to be doing a whole West Coast thing. I talked about the shows we're playing in L.A. With Corrupted Youth, and I'm going to play a song in a minute from some other folks. But come hang out and let me know that you dig the podcast. It means a lot to me. I know I put on this tough exterior, but really I do dig talking to folks about this shit, and I would love to hear it. So if you dig the podcast, come out and hang out at the show. It'd be nice to meet you. We're playing all the West Coast and down through the Southwest into Texas. Also, we're going to be doing a bunch of shows in Canada with my other band, All Torn Up. We're going to be playing, opening up for the Subhumans, from the United Kingdom. And we're going to be playing, the 22nd to the 26th all around, the eastern portion of Canada. So if you listen to Dispatches up in Canada, come over and hang out. You know, we can celebrate hating America together on America's fucking bullshit mass genocide holiday. Or if Canada is celebrating another holiday that I am unaware of, we can celebrate that holiday too. That's fine with me. I don't really know anything. So you can give me wisdom and we can hang out. It'd be fun for everybody. But we'll be up there and we'll see you all very soon. If you aren't around, please holler at us on Facebook, Dispatches from the Underground. Just holler. Let us know what you dig about the show or if you think we should do things differently. I love hearing that too. And I can just hit delete if they're annoying. So everybody, it's a win-win again. I hope you all keep digging it. Till the next one. Get down.